Thanks, Pam. That was really nice. Yeah, I'll move it up. My voice is a lot more soft, so if you can't hear me, just let us know and we'll turn it up for you guys. First, I just want to say that I heartily agree with Mary about just all of us being really excited, and we're just so excited to see 200 women show up for an all-day women's retreat. We think that's just wonderful. It's a sacrifice, we know, on a lot of your parts, and just to get everything situated for the day that you could be here all day, and it was a lot of sacrifice, I know, but we're so glad you came, and hopefully none of you will walk away being disappointed that you decided to spend your whole day together with us. And and in fact, myself, I'm really excited for this time, and during this next hour, I have a lot of really special things that I'm looking forward to passing on to all of you. And then also just the rest of the time is going to be a wonderful time. So we're all looking forward to it. Several months ago, when I was just thinking through the different ideas of what I wanted to share with you today, and then just the last few weeks since I've been preparing for this message, little did I know that my husband Mark would be doing a series just right about this same time as well, entitled How to Trust God. And I kind of found it a little bit interesting and actually somewhat amusing, especially last weekend when he actually started talking about a lot of the things that all of us have been preparing to share with you today as well. And so my first thought was, oh my goodness, he's stealing our message. But then, actually, as I thought about it, I was just really, really excited. Just the timeliness of it all, that God just worked in his heart to think about sharing these things about the same time that we're going to be talking about these things today, because you've had an opportunity, many of you, if you went last weekend and then this weekend, to kind of hear his perspective of the importance of really trusting God in your life, because this is just a very, very important area. And now today you'll be able to get just a woman's perspective and how we feel, and today too, just more of an opportunity to kind of let things soak in after you've heard last week's message. And I kind of like what Mark told me. He said, well, just kind of see it like me just plowing up the field for you gals today. And he really has done a great job at that. And so I'm just really glad for the timing of it all. And then also, too, I just think of the Apostle Paul. And one time he wrote to one of the New Testament churches, he said, it's really no pain for me at all to remind you of these truths. It's only a safeguard for your souls. So anyway, we're just really trusting for this time to be really helpful and beneficial to each one of you, as well as just a refreshing time to hang out with these gals all day. If you'd like, you can go ahead and turn to the noted outline that is with you. I went ahead and did something similar to what I did last year at our women's retreat. I made a noted outline for a couple reasons. One, I'm covering a lot of material and I want to get through it in an hour, and I think that just having a lot of it written down and you can just follow along with me will kind of help shorten things up a little. And two, you won't have to take your pen and, you know, write a lot of notes down and scribble a lot. It's kind of hard to do that sometimes. So just feel free to sit back and relax. You may want to write a few notes down. And also, too, I had many verses printed down on this for you, and that would take a lot of time to flip through the Bible and look up all these verses, so I had them printed out for you as well. I entitled my message for today, like Mary said, it's called Depression, Anxiety, Worry, Don't Let Them Get You Down. And I wrote this verse here in John 10:10, where this is Jesus saying, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. And I think if I were to describe what an abundant life were to be, I wrote here, I think it would be having more and experiencing more in this life than we've ever dreamed possible. And, you know, Jesus not only promised us the gift of eternal life when we accept him into our lives, but he also promised us the abundant life. And I know many people lack that, but really, that's what God really wants us to have, is a life full of joy, a life full of abundance. And I believe that the devil would like nothing better than to rob us of this abundant life. And for me personally, I've known the Lord nearly 21 years, and I can just say that not a day of my Christian life has gone by that I've not been made aware of this fact. And I really believe, if you want to follow, that two of the biggest attributes that he'll want to rob us of are our peace and our happiness, or you could put the word joy in there. And both of these are fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 2:22. And of course, we all know the opposite of peace and joy is anxiety and depression. And also, you can kind of intermix, maybe some people use the word worry versus anxiety or depression. A lot of people maybe don't say, I'm depressed. Maybe they say, I'm really discouraged. So you can kind of intermix those words a little. But when you hear these two words that I'll be talking about for this next hour, what I want you to do is just not only think about big things that come to your mind, because all of us have big things that have weighed us down, but just kind of think of the little things as well. Because I really believe that these are two of the major things that seem to really play on our emotions to one degree or another every single day. And when we're not careful, this is when our emotions can really get carried away and get the best of us. And I think especially us as women, just the way our hormones are made and all, we just tend to be, most of us generally, a little more on the emotional side, and it's difficult for us to handle them. And we entitled our theme for today, Matters of the Heart, like Mary shared. And we entitled it because I'll be talking about these two areas, along with what Betty and Jane will be sharing out of their own personal experiences relating to this topic as well. And these are the areas that usually really tug at our hearts. These are the areas that really seem real, and at many times they're felt really deep within. These are real, and so that's kind of why we entitled it this way. But I believe that our biggest safeguard is learning how to fight the devil's schemes, and also just learning to get God's perspective. And I guess I didn't write this, but I just want to say, because if we can really begin to get God's perspective on this, if we can really learn to get a handle on our emotions, or maybe in other words, just learn to be able to master our emotions, so that we can in turn learn to deal with these issues of anxiety and depression in the proper way. I'd like to ask of you, who of you were not able to come to the women's retreat last year? Is there many of you that weren't able to? I kind of thought that's a lot. We entitled that theme last year, it was last April, it was called Developing a Closer Walk with God. And Mary and I combined very exhaustive messages covering this topic. And we would just really like to highly recommend that if you haven't had a chance to get the tapes, that maybe you would. You'd really find a lot of encouragement from them. And I know that they would really be a real help to your Christian walk. And not only that, in many ways, as you listen on today, they really tie in with what we're going to be sharing today as well. Because I really believe that learning to be able to seek God through prayer, as well as finding advice and encouragement from His Word, is the secret to really enjoying a close relationship with God. And not only that, it's a secret to enjoying great degrees of peace and joy in our lives. And this really is what's called taking the proactive approach. Or this is what being able to trust God is all about, when we can talk to God through prayer and when we can find encouragement and consolation through His Word. And the Bible has answers and reassuring promises for everything that helps sustain us through any difficulties, that can help combat against our struggles, as well as help to make us more solid in our Christian faith. And if you want to read this verse with me, I wrote down there, it says, in Psalm 119, verse 50, "This is my comfort and consolation in my affliction, that your word has revived me and given me life." I like what another version says, "that your promise preserves my life." So in other words, God's word helps keep constant guard over our lives. And, you know, I think that this is really what is a special secret for us who really know Christ personally. Only us can really tap into something like this, and not only that, we can experience countless blessings from as a result. And I'll be giving you some examples of what it really means to find encouragement from the Scriptures. What does it mean to find a promise? I'll do that in just a little bit. But right now, I just want us to take a closer look at depression, because I really believe that the more we know what it is and how it affects us, the more we'll be able to deal with it the right way. And before you look at your outline, I just wanted to say that I have a chance to look at, and there's just so many faces. I can't believe how many women are in this room. And just knowing that out of all these women, I know for a fact that all of us have had to deal with depression in various forms, in various degrees, because of all the different kind of experiences that come our way to give us life's challenges. All of us have had to deal with them. But right now, I know that some of you may be here today aren't really particularly maybe experiencing something really heavy right now in your life. But I also know that there's a good many of you that are maybe experiencing something so heavy that life seems to be awfully bleak. And maybe sometimes you just feel like, boy, I don't even know if I can hang on right now. I know that's the way things go. And nonetheless, I'm just hoping that this time will be an encouragement to all of you in one way or another. I wrote Roman numeral 1 dealing with depression here, and I have Webster's definition of depression, but first I was just thinking, you know, if I were to try to define depression myself, I think I would say that depression is something that really robs us of all possible joys. Or in other words, it short circuits all that God really intends for us to have, all the joy that God really intends for us to have. That's what depression can do to us. And Webster's definition says that depression is a state of feeling sad, a psychotic order marked especially by sadness, inactivity, difficulty in thinking and concentration, a significant increase or decrease in appetite and time spent sleeping, feelings of dejection and hopelessness, and sometimes suicidal tendencies. And I think there, when I think of the suicidal tendencies, maybe we haven't felt that way, maybe some of us have, but I know all of us at times when things have gotten so heavy, we get this feeling like, I just don't know if I can go on. I just don't know if I could keep hanging in there. It's a difficult feeling, and I know we all can relate. I wrote down a list of some things that bring on depression here, and I thought we could take a look at some of them. It's not an exhaustive list, but I just kind of wanted to give you an idea of some of the things that maybe happen to us that bring on depression, so we can just kind of get an idea of what depression really is. And number one, I wrote down strained relationships. Maybe it's with husbands or children or roommates or friends or workmates or relatives. I'm trying to cover everybody. I know that in one form or another, all of us have had to deal with a strained relationship, and as a result, it's brought sadness to our heart or tension or whatever. And maybe it's just been because we've had to face rejection from somebody, and that's been real hard for us to deal with, or maybe just perhaps a big major misunderstanding or miscommunication. Whatever it is, it's made it difficult for you to enjoy the relationship, and not only that, it's brought sadness to your life. Or perhaps maybe it's number two, maybe it's some sort of health problems. I know we all experience health problems. It could be some sort of a physical injury, some sort of a injury that's set you back, and you've felt kind of robbed, like, you know, I'm so set back from this injury, how can I go on with my life in a normal way? I know injuries can really affect people, not only physically, but really mentally. Or it could just be struggling with PMS symptoms or menopause symptoms. We all struggle with this, just the way our hormones are made, and I know that one time or another, these kind of symptoms can really get to us and really kind of bring that cloud over you or make you feel really depressed, or just really any health problems in general that you think of. I mean, you can think of the biggest health problem that can bring a person down, but then you can think of the smallest thing, a silly old hangnail sometimes. I mean, it's amazing what little things can discourage you, but they can if we let the devil do it. They can, because he's always there trying to rob us of any possible joy, even if it's a little one. Or number four, I wrote down, number three, financial problems. Maybe it's some sort of a big credit card debt that you got yourself into, or maybe it's just a lot of piled up loans and a lot of piled up debts all at the same time, and life just seems kind of bleak sometimes when finances get really tough, and finances can really affect us in a negative way as well. Or perhaps maybe it's number four, a loss of a job. I know sometimes when people lose jobs, it takes a long time to try to find another one to replace it. And just in the search for a new one, many times it's very long, it's very hard, it's very discouraging for people. This next one, point five, I guess when I say this, I just want to say this tenderly, that I think the loss of a loved one could probably be one of the hardest things for anybody to ever have to face with. And I say this tenderly. I think it's definitely a time for mourning in our life, and God allows times to come into our life for mourning. He doesn't intend for us just to be happy at times like this, especially at the loss of a loved one. But I think at times what can happen to some people is that the mourning turns into just a devastating effect on their lives. It affects them so much that they really can't even get going on with their lives. And I know the devil has a foothold on that. Even though this is such a sensitive area, at the same time, God has some answers for it. We'll get to that in a moment. Number six, it could be failure. Maybe just some sort of a relationship in your life that you feel like you've really failed in, and that's really brought on discouragement. Or maybe it's just feeling like you're never going to measure up. You always seem like you're going to fall short of something, especially when you start comparing yourselves to other people's successes, and you look around and you think, I'm never going to measure up. And therefore, just the failure of your own thinking brings you down and brings sadness to your heart. And sometimes this can wipe out people for months, for years. Number seven, I wrote unforeseen tragedies. That's another thing that can be something that can really bring people into depression. When I think of unforeseen tragedies, I maybe think of like a big financial tragedy where a person's whole complete company went under. Or, you know, maybe just, I especially think of things like maybe a house fire that actually burned someone's house down and they lost literally everything they owned. And what do they do then? How do they go on? How do they cope with that? That's a difficult thing. Or I think of all the different kinds of weather tragedies, like, and all of these are happening around us. Bad tornadoes, bad hurricanes, bad floods, bad earthquakes, and you think of the devastating effects that these could have in a person's life, and you think of how this could really bring depression on, and like I say, it's not an easy thing for people to handle, and people look for ways, but not always do they find the right ways to cope, and therefore they just sink lower into depression. And then the last one is disappointments. I think maybe disappointments are just things that you thought and hoped would really become realities, but in essence, they never really did. And that in itself can really let us down and bring discouragement. And it could just maybe be disappointments with people and your relationships with them. They really let you down. Or I also think of just our physical appearance, maybe the way God made us. We're just not happy with the way God made us. I'm not happy with my skin. I'm not happy with my hair. I'm not happy with the way my body's shaped. And I'm also disappointed that I'm just not diligent to exercise and have self-control. And, you know, boy, I think this is a really sensitive topic, especially for women, that their physical appearance, disappointments with that can really bring them down. And I wrote a comment here. Some of these things we tend to bring on ourselves, and this is just because of our own sinful nature, and others just happen to us without our control over them at all. Nevertheless, they seem to bring about unique burdens to our lives, and I just want to pause here and say again, some may be heavy burdens, or some of them just might be those little things that just kind of tug at our heart and just kind of weigh us down a little, kind of like this little cloud following over us. It might not be real heavy, but it's just enough that you've got this dark cloud looming over you all day long. I know that's happened to me. I've had big things, I've had little things. I've had things that happened in the past, I've had things that have happened just recently. But I think, nonetheless, I wrote here, all of us find our own unique ways to seek comfort and relief. And I wrote a little list that's under point B that says helpful ways of seeking comfort and relief. But before I say that, I just want to say that we all know of ways, definitely, that are negative ways that we've sought comfort and relief when we were going through something heavy. Maybe at the beginning we didn't really feel like there were going to be negative ways, but in the end we found out this wasn't the right thing for me to do. It might have been like getting advice from the wrong person, or maybe developing some sort of chemical or alcohol dependency, or maybe some eating disorder. Or maybe an unhealthy relationship with another man or something. I know women seek whatever they can find to help seek comfort and relief for struggles that they go through. And all of these, in a negative sense, when you get to the end, you realize this wasn't the direction for me to take. This didn't help. This didn't help. But under point B, I just want to list some things that are some helpful ways of seeking comfort and relief. And I have a reason for why I wrote these. And I'll get to that in a minute. It could be, number one, some form of counseling. Counseling of various forms can give helpful direction. Some of them are good and many of them are bad, but there is a lot of counseling services that are helpful. And I think especially just recommending Christian counseling can do wonders for a person's heart in helping to relieve a burden. Or it could be, number two, maybe some sort of financial services, just something that you've gone through and you need to acquire some financial help to seek aid and advice on to help out. Or it could be, number three, some sort of legal services. I know there's things that happen to us that thank God for the legal services that we can go to and find help. Or it could be, number four, a change of a job. Maybe perhaps you've gone through a job and you just aren't real happy with it and you find it hard to become more successful in it, or whatever it is that makes it difficult, and so you look for another job and you find it and find out this is great. You know, this is the best thing that happened to me, a job change. Job changes do help. Or perhaps it could be a change of church. Maybe you've not been happy with the church that you've been going to, and you go church shopping and you find one that you really enjoy, and boy, does that ever help. And I'm just thinking, hopefully there's some of you out here that today that have been looking around for churches and have found Evergreen, and it has made a difference in your lives. And then number seven and eight, it could be maybe, I'm sorry, I'll go to number six, medications. I know many medications help bring wellness to our minds as well as our bodies. You know, God created people to help us in this field, and we thank God so much for that and for their services and what they can offer to us. And then I look at number seven and eight. Maybe it's a health club or a weight loss clinic. Again, just maybe you're just feeling under the weather with your physical appearance and you need some help. And these are services that you can go to and find help. And, you know, they kind of put a new step, whatever it is, into your life. You know, so thankful for those. And I was thinking, too, just maybe going to a hair salon and getting a hair change. I mean, even sometimes, you maybe feel a little under the weather and think, I need a hair change. And you go, and that helps a little bit. They all help. Or maybe the last one I wrote, vacations. We all need R&R time, all of us. And it might just be a couple weeks, or it could be just taking a half day off work, or it could just simply be sleeping in. You just need time to sleep in. All of these are helpful. And I wrote here, I noticed in the outline, a star. I meant to put a star by all of these. It says, these are all okay and each beneficial in their own way if they're sought out with the right perspective and with a healthy balance. That's the important thing, because any of these things, I mean, we could carry them to an extreme, and if we did that, it wouldn't be healthy. But they're all really beneficial. But I really want to go on to point C and talk about something that I believe is ultimately superior to these other sources. Not saying that these other sources you shouldn't do, they're helpful, but I think point C is what is ultimately superior. And I wrote, the superior secret to happiness. I quoted a verse here in Philippians 4:12, and I'm sorry I couldn't find the version for this one. I know it's not Kathy's own version, but I couldn't find the particular version. If I find it or someone knows, you can let me know here. But this happens to be my favorite one, and it says, I have learned the secret of being content at any time in everything that happens. You know, wouldn't it be something to be able to really say you could learn the secret of being happy at any time? I mean, maybe circle those three words, at any time, and circle the two words, in everything. I think it would be incredible to be able to learn that secret. I know the Apostle Paul did, because he's the one that wrote it. Just to know in your own life that in any time, no matter what you're going through, and in any experience, no matter what it is, that you could really learn the secret of being content. I wrote point one, how could we learn this secret? Because I know God wants us to know it. And I really believe that the secret is learning to talk to God through prayer and seeking advice and encouragement from His Word. These things are what the secret really is. And I first want to just talk for a moment about prayer. I think prayer is so essential because it's our opportunity to interact with a God who is so attentive and so willing to hear our prayers and answer them. And I like what one pastor said, that prayer is like our 800 number to God. It's a toll-free number that we can talk to God anytime. There's no charge. We can talk as long as we want. He's always there ready to hear everything, no matter how long. And so prayer is really an essential part of learning the secret, along with seeking advice, which I believe is just direction from God's Word. God's Word lays out direction for every area of our lives. And then encouragement from His Word. Encouragement, times of God's Word being able to help console us and comfort us through times of affliction. Paul's testing in this area, along with just our own failures that happen, he allows this so that we can really see our real need for Him and our real need to draw near to Him so that we can find strength, we can find comfort and encouragement. And I know that I've faced discouragement in every way that I've mentioned up here. I know I've faced it big times in my marriage, and if most of you have heard Mark share, he gets very open and personal up front. And so I won't even go into detail, but we have experienced big time problems in my marriage. Or finances. He's talked a lot about the financial struggles that we faced earlier on in our marriage. And I know even with my health problems, I've had a great many health problems, especially with a bad back that I developed years ago from an accident. And because of it, it affected my whole spine, and I developed a chronic pain throughout the, you know, just 24 hours a day, learning how to develop that. And sometimes when you have to deal with pain 24 hours a day, what happens is it kind of does a number on your immune system and it wears it down. And consequently, then my health began to fail and I started getting sickly and weak. And a few years ago, we even thought maybe I've got chronic fatigue syndrome because I had all the symptoms of it. And since then, it's gotten better, but I know I can relate so much to having health problems. And I can say that I've had a lot of bad times. I've had a lot of times where thinking about these things have weighed me down and brought discouragement, brought hopelessness. But I know that I can attest to saying that I have learned the secret of learning to be content, and I'm still learning it. But I know that it has made an incredible difference in my life, and it's brought incredible joy to my life. And it's something that we all have a chance to tap into. And I think the key is just developing a habit of learning to talk to God and seeking advice and encouragement through His Word. That's the key, is just developing a daily habit of that. No matter what we're going through, whatever it is, we can come to God on it. And I wrote some verses for your encouragement here. I personally wanted to kind of give you something tangible to take home with you today. And I looked through a lot of my verses relating to this area, some of them just real special ones that have met a lot of needs in my own life over the years. And I thought it would just be nice if I wrote them down for you to take home and just keep on store for your own life. Some of you may have already know these. Others of you, I think, will be really appreciative that I wrote them down for you. And many of them are out of different versions. I try to note which versions they came out of. But I wanted just to have us take a look at some of these because I have some things to share that will kind of go along with what it means to find the secret. The first verse is in Psalm 119, verse 71, and it says, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I may learn your decrees." And I really like this verse. I've thought about this many times, and I think, what does it mean? It says, "It was good for me to be afflicted." When I think of the word afflicted, two things come to my mind. I think sometimes, because of our own sinful nature, because of our own failures, we bring afflictions on ourselves. But on the other hand, there's other things that happen to us that we have no control over, and those are afflictions as well. And it says, "It was good for me to be afflicted." Why? So that I may learn your decrees. And when I think of decrees, I think of two things as well. I think of it being maybe a new command to obey. God's word has lots of commands, and if we are steering off in the wrong direction in our own life, but if we choose to take a look at God's word and take a look at his commands and choose to obey them, that's what brings real joy to our lives. And then I think another thing when I think of decrees is just a promise to claim for strength or comfort. God has many, many, many promises in the Bible, and I'll talk about that more in just a minute. But I think two things here. And I just want to add that I really believe that real joy comes both from a life of obedience as well as a life of trusting in God's word to give you comfort. The next verse is Psalm 119, verse 28. It says, "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." When I look at this, I think maybe I could say this is an example of what a promise could be for your life. If you think about this, I know there's times where you can relate to this psalmist and read this and say, "My soul is weary and sorrowful right now. Lord, I want you to strengthen me according to your word." And what I want to say is when you look at a promise, you can say, this is for me. It's okay for me to pray the same thing that this psalmist said. It's okay for me to claim this, like claiming a gold mine or something. You can say, I found it. I can hold on to it. This can be just for me. God gave this just for me. So this is what promises are all about. And just like how it says to strengthen me according to your word, I believe that if we believe this as we pray this, Lord, strengthen me according to your word, that's what helps to bring the inner joy and the strength. Another example, a couple promises here, Psalm 40, verse 17. "Since I'm afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." See, that's another promise that if you're going through something, you read this and you can think about that and pray it and say the same thing. And just praying through these things helps bring comfort in itself. And the next verse, Psalm 46:1, I like this, says, "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble," or maybe you could put difficulties. Again, you can just pray over this and just say, "Lord, I want you to be my refuge and strength right now. I'm going to trust you right now that you're going to be a present, an ever-present help for something I'm going through right now." See, that's the key, is just the ever-present situations that we're in. That's where God wants to come into our lives, into our situations, and experience his help. And I know that just looking over his word and looking over promises like this helps. And I believe that trusting in these promises is what really makes a difference in our spirits. It's one thing to kind of read a verse, but it's another thing to really believe it and apply it to your own life situation. This next verse is Psalm 43:5. It says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." You know, we sing this song at church a lot. This is a lot like the song that we sing. And I was trying to think of an analogy in my own life that I could bring an example. Last summer, our family had an opportunity to take a vacation. We drove all the way down to South Carolina and spent a week down there at Myrtle Beach. It was kind of part work. Mark had an opportunity to share at a student conference going on down there for the summer, but we decided to go as a family and make it a family vacation. We've never really taken a long vacation like this, and the kids had never seen the ocean, so we were really looking forward to the drive down and just a time to see the ocean and enjoy the warm summer, especially us with having such cool summers. So anyway, the day we started, it was pouring down rain here, and believe it or not, all the way down completely to South Carolina, it rained on us the whole way. And then when we got there, for the next 3 days, it was either rainy or really cloudy. And that was hard. I thought, after the third day, I got up and we were just like 500 yards away from the beach. And I was walking one morning just going over there, and again, it was really cloudy and gloomy, and I thought, I can't understand why you're doing this, Lord. We needed some warmth, some sunshine. It's hard to enjoy the ocean when it's cold and rainy. And then this verse came to my mind, why are you so downcast? And you can put your name in it, Kathy. Why are you so downcast? Why so disturbed? Put your hope in God, for you will yet praise him. And, you know, that really helped me just remember that, yes, you know, I don't need to be downcast. God knows what he's doing. As a matter of fact, those first 3 days, we had an opportunity to spend more time in the cabin together, which is a nice thing to do because when you're out and about, it doesn't happen quite as well. We also had a chance to go on a real cloudy day to an amusement park for the whole day. And let me tell you, it's much more fun to be in an amusement park when it's cloudy than when it's very hot. So God was so gracious to us. And I just thought, yes, I don't need to be downcast. God's taking care of this for me. And then, you know, my spirit changed, and I really was able to thank the Lord for that. I'll skip the next verse. You can read it. I want to go on here. Psalm 13:2 says, this is another verse that I really, really like, and it's meant a lot to me. I can really relate to this psalmist, and I'm sure all of us can. It says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Can anybody relate to that one? And I know there's situations in our lives that some are easier to get over than others, and there's others sometimes it seems like it faces us every single day, and we struggle in our thoughts every day. And I know there's been times that I've wrestled intensely about perplexing situations in my life every day. But as you go on, it says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. And I think that's the key. It might be that we may have some kind of a thought we're going to struggle with every day for the rest of our life. And I'm not saying that, you know, that can actually happen. And actually maybe have some sort of a sorrow lingering in your life that you don't think you can completely deal with. But I think the key is to say that, Lord, I'm going to trust in your unfailing love nonetheless, even though I'm battling with these thoughts right now and it's really weighing heavy on me, I still have to keep going on with life. I still have to keep going on trusting in your unfailing love. I'm not going to let this perplexing thought get me down, even if I never get an answer for it the rest of my life. I'm not going to let it get me down. And I think that's the key to bringing that joy and that inner strength, trusting in God's unfailing love. And again, when you do that, it begins to bring on a whole new, I think just a picture of joy in your life. You know, I think that's what it does. And I'll skip this next verse and go on to one that talks about that. Proverbs 17:22 says, a happy heart is like good medicine, but a broken spirit drains your strength. And that's exactly what it does. God wants us to be able to have happy hearts. He doesn't want our strength drained. And the next verse, Psalm 34, says, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of his glories and grace. Again, I think just to be able to thank God by faith, because that's how we have to do it, is our way of saying that we really trust in God's goodness. We really trust in his faithfulness. We have to do this by faith, but we can do it, and that's our way of saying, Lord, I will praise you. I can do this no matter what happens. You have to do it by faith, not by sight, not by how you feel. But God gives us the ability to be able to praise him, and as we do that, again, it affects us. And I'd much rather be happy going about my day all day long instead of sad, no matter what's going on. And God gives us that capability to be able to do that. He gives us the capability to praise Him even when we don't feel like it. And it changes our hearts. And then Psalm 16:9 says, I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near me and nothing can shake me. Or I wrote, nothing can bring us down. Again, God just really wants us to be aware of His presence all day long, throughout our day, no matter what happens. That's the key, again, to learning the secret of joy, is just knowing the Lord is always there. He's always near you, ready to help in any situation, to give you whatever you need. And I want to finish up with this and then go on to the second part. And my second part isn't as long, so I'll be here finishing up shorter than you think here. But I just wanted to finish this part by saying that, you know, I think it's really, really important that we don't judge one another when we look at one another's afflictions. I think that's a really, really important thing to do, because we don't want other people judging us when they look at things that we're going through. Sometimes you could kind of feel like, oh, people are just thinking, you know, they brought that on themselves because of, you know, the way they are. They brought that own affliction on. They deserve to, you know, wallow in the mud or whatever. That's just so unhealthy and just so untrue. And who's to say what you bring on yourselves and what you don't bring on yourselves? Sometimes God brings on an affliction, and from another person's point of view, they're looking at you thinking, oh, they brought it on themselves, you know. Well, then that's absolutely not true, and we have no way of knowing. So it's an unhealthy thing. We just have no right to judge other people's problems. But what we can do is learn to, like the Bible says, weep when those are weeping. We can give compassion. People need that so much. We can extend a compassionate hand to help people when they're down. But we don't have to judge them. We can be there to help them. Of course, there might be times that we may need to give some sort of stern advice to somebody who's, you know, who needs that as well as compassion. And I just wanted to say that. Why don't we switch gears just a moment and go to part two on dealing with anxiety. Again, I just put the word worry in here. Remember, anxiety, this is the peace that the devil wants to rob us of. Let's look at the definition of what anxiety is. It says it's a fearful concern or interest characterized by extreme uneasiness of mind or brooding fear about some contingency. And contingency means an event that may or may not take place. So in other words, when you think of anxiety, it's just actually worrying about something that may never really happen. And again, I know how many of us have done this. How many of us have worried about things and they never actually happened? Umpteen times, right? I wrote a list of things that I thought we could look at that just kind of, again, it's not exhaustive, but just some things that bring on anxiety. Maybe it's bad weather. I know sometimes we look at tomorrow and we think it's rainy, or maybe it's going to be slippery and icy, and you just worry about getting to work or worry about taking your children to school. And I mean, it's amazing how many things we can worry about when it comes to weather. I won't talk about that a lot. But number two says finances. Maybe it's like an overdrawn checking account, or maybe it's a loan that didn't come through, or maybe it's just not enough money to pay bills for the end of the week or the end of the month. Finances can weigh heavy on you and really bring anxieties on. I also wrote number three, tomorrow's worries. How many times do we worry about tomorrow? Maybe it's facing a very busy, hectic schedule. You think, how on earth am I ever going to get everything done? Or maybe it's an interview that you have, or maybe it's an appointment with somebody, and you're just very nervous about it, and you just, I don't know if I can face tomorrow. And you lose sleep over it, you lose your appetite over it, you get yourself worried sick. I mean, literally sick sometimes, because we're worrying about tomorrow. I wrote number five, maybe it's finding a mate. That's another big thing that I say sensitively here. I know that this is a hard thing that women face, and just the anxiety of really wondering if God's ever going to bring the right person into their lives. And just the sleep and the food you can lose over this is incredible. And number six, I wrote getting pregnant, when I thought about this, I thought of two different things. I thought, well, maybe someone's living a very promiscuous life, and they realize that, and now they're really fearful about getting pregnant. I just think of all the anxieties of women who feel the fear that they're going to get pregnant and what that can do to you. But on the other hand, when I was thinking about this initially, I was just thinking about just a married couple just really wanting to have a baby and just the excitement and just really desiring to get pregnant, and yet they haven't for some reason or another, and just the different anxieties that can pile up on your life. It's a heavy thing to have to deal with. And then I wrote number 7, fear. I think fear is another form of anxiety. Maybe sometimes fears are even weighted a little heavier at times. Fear of accidents, just fear of something happening tomorrow, you know, feeling like, what if this happens to me? I don't think I'll ever put myself in this position because I might have an accident. So you never put yourself in that position when you really didn't need to. Or fear of bad news, that's another one. Just fearing that tomorrow you're going to get a call that, you know, your brother died. He was killed in a car wreck. Having that fear, I mean, literally, some people, these kinds of fears are really real. They're really felt deep within, and it can really affect you mentally and emotionally with how you live the rest of your life. It could be fear of loved ones getting hurt or dying. And I even think of like moms with children. I know you can all relate if you're moms with young children. It's such an easy thing to fear that, you know, they're going to fall down the steps or get their fingers closed in the door, or, you know, big things. And because of that, then your own children see this anxiety always around you. You can't relax. You can't really relax the way you ought to because you've got this fear always hanging over you. Or it could be fear of burglaries or fear of New Year's resolutions never becoming realities. Oh, you can think of some, I'm sure. Or just the fear of running out of time. How many times do we feel like, even now, no. You're not fearing, are you? Good. Oh, my last point, just fear of inadequacy. I know many times all of us at one point or another maybe feel like we're just really inadequate and, you know, I'm just never going to be what I really want to be. And because of this is a fear that overwhelms you and really short circuits you from being the person that God really wants you to be because of just your fear of inadequacy. Again, I think when I look at all these things, I realize that a lot of these things that bring on anxiety are our own shortcomings, our own failures. But then again, a lot of them are just things that we simply face, we have no control over. But again, the answer, and I wrote point B, is just really the same as learning to deal with depression. It's having God's peace as our answer. And how do we get it? By talking to God through prayer and seeking advice and encouragement from His Word. That's our answer as well. And I wrote some more verses here that I wanted to have you to take home. And I'll go over just a few of them to kind of get my point across. The first one I really enjoy, it's 1 Peter 5:7 out of the Phillips translation. This is my favorite version. And it says, "You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon Him, for you are His personal concern." I really like that. I especially like the word whole. I know many of us, I'm sure time and time again, we come before the Lord and we throw our anxieties upon Him and we cast them upon Him. But I know many times we don't throw the whole weight. So we end up carrying part of it with us all day long. Just enough to kind of make you feel uneasy, a little anxious. Just enough. I know we do that many times. And God says that you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon Him, for you are His personal concern. God knows every detail of what is happening to us. He's a sovereign controller of everything in our lives, and if we can learn to grasp this and really believe it, that's when we're able to throw out the whole weight of our anxieties. And what's the result? We've got peace. We've got an inner peace that people would die to have. Psalm 135 says, "My times are in your hands." I think this is a good one to quote out loud, this scripture. I think sometimes it's good to develop the habit of just having one verse that you could just quote out loud, and this is a really good one. Let's just say you're in the middle of being late for work, and it's an important day, and you're stuck in rush hour, And you know, you're starting to get in a tizzy, your stomach's turning, and you're just getting all heated and sweated. But if you think, wait, my times are in God's hands. He's allowed this. He knows what he's doing. And you just quote this verse, it helps relax you. It helps you, you're able to give it over to him and just wait there patiently. And, you know, that helps a lot. Another verse, Psalm 25:16 says, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are multiplied. Free me from my anguish. I think sometimes it's not only anxiety, but it's a good combination of both anxiety and discouragement that afflict us. And this is one verse that makes me think of that. And again, I just look at the part that says, free me from your anguish. That's the key of just trusting that God will do this. If you pray this and agree with the psalmist, that God really will help free you from your anguish, whatever it is you're going through. This next verse is Psalm 94:19. In the Living Bible it says, Lord, when doubts fill my mind and my heart is in turmoil, quiet me and give me renewed hope and cheer. I really like that verse. I think of doubts, of just doubts of God's love, maybe doubts of his forgiveness that you've really blown it, and or maybe just doubts of God's provision for you. Whatever it is, sometimes they can fill your mind and your heart is just in turmoil. It says, the second part, quiet me and give me renewed hope and cheer. Again, I think this is just a promise that you can claim and go over and talk to God about when you're experiencing heavy things. His word is our armor to help fight the devil and his schemes. It not only protects us, but it also renews us with hope and gives us fresh comfort for our souls, kind of gives us a lift, just knowing that God is going to be there to help renew us. And this next verse is the same version, only a different, I mean the same verse, but a different version, and I like it as well. It says, when perplexing cares crowd my inmost being, thy consolations cheer my soul. How many times have you maybe felt like at a point in your life where there's so many things going on that you're just filled up, your whole being's filled up with so many perplexing things. You know, it mind boggles you, doesn't it, sometimes? But it says that even when this happens to me, God's word can help cheer me up, and that's the answer. We may not have all the answers to what's going on around us, but God's word can help bring comfort and cheer to our souls. And I think this is just the joy and the benefit of coming to his word and experiencing this. The next verse, Psalm 7:9, for thou who triest hearts and emotions art a righteous God. And I put in there, for thou who allows things to tug at our hearts art a righteous God. Because God allows many, many things to tug at our hearts. And why? Because he's righteous. In Proverbs it says that honest scales and balances are from the Lord. And so God knows exactly what he's doing when he's bringing some sort of affliction to try your heart, to try your emotion. God knows exactly what he's doing. And we can rest assured. We don't have to be afraid that, boy, Lord, why'd you allow this to happen to me? How am I ever going to get out of this? Or how am I ever going to get through this? And you start getting, you know, worried and anxiety, you know, anxiety starts really setting in. But just this promise alone has helped me through many, many struggles. That even though the Lord has tried my heart and my emotions, that I've believed that God knows what he's doing and trust in that, and it's helped brought real comfort to me. Psalm 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. Again, I just think it's good for us to work our minds to believe verses like this. It takes work. It takes work to believe. It takes a lot of work to have faith. And that's where the work is on our part, to believe, to work our minds. This next one, Psalm 46:10. I couldn't find the version, but this is my favorite version out of this verse. It says, relax, let go, and know that I am God. How many times in a situation could you just wish you could just relax and let go and give it all to God? And that's exactly what he wants. And I mean, I can just think of little examples like the day after Christmas, I took my kids to Target and they were going to buy some Christmas gifts. They got Christmas money for Christmas. And I decided to send them along just looking for whatever, the four of them together. And I was going to stand in the long, long line to return some items. And it was a very long line. And I kid you not, I just stood there and I just looked around. And every single person I looked at was grumbling, was just, you know, just totally anxious over waiting in this long line, totally distraught. And I'm sitting there, just calm and relaxed, you know, not that I'm this way all the time, but I was trusting. I just thought, Lord, I'm just going to relax. I'm just going to let go. I mean, however long it takes, you're in control, you know. So I get up to the line, to the front of the line, and this gal that was letting people get up to exchange things, she looked at me, she goes, thank you so much for smiling. I haven't had anybody smile at me at all day. But, you know, just being able to relax and let go actually even puts a smile on your face. And it's a testimony. It's a testimony of God working in us. Things people long to have the peace that we have. We're such a testimony of it. And we can, you know, we can trust God not to be anxious at any time, no matter what it is, if we just learn to let go, relax, and leave it in His hands. The next two verses are have to do with fear. Psalm 112:7 in the Living Bible says, He does not fear bad news nor live in dread of what may happen, for He has settled in His mind that Jehovah or God will take care of Him. I really like this verse. Many of us do just fear things that never actually ever happened to us, and we spend our time fearing about it, dreading over what may happen, what will happen to me if this really does happen, and then it never really does happen. Another verse that has to do with fears is Psalm 34:4. It says, I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Again, God wants to deliver us, and how does He do it? He does it through His Word. He may even do it through the counsel of another friend or perhaps a Bible teaching from church. But God has His way of helping to deliver us if we're, you know, willing to look for it. God will give us the answer. And not only that, we'll be able to sleep a lot better. We won't have to lose so much sleep, because those who trust in the Lord will get a lot of peaceful sleep. And then another verse on worry, I wanted to share this, Philippians 4 out of the Phillips. It says, don't worry over anything, whatever. Whenever you pray, tell God every detail of your needs in thankful prayer, and the peace of God which surpasses human understanding will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. And I think the real key here out of this verse is where it says thankful prayer. We need to not only not worry about things, but when we take things to God, it needs to be in a thankful prayer. In other words, saying, Lord, I really do trust that You hear me and that You're going to answer me. And then you can leave it with Him. And then that's when the peace comes, the peace that we can't quite explain, but it comes. And it can come in great measures the more that we trust Him. And just real quick, I'm almost done here, but I didn't have a chance to write this verse down. It's a little bit longer. And it's related to worry as well. I just want to read it from Matthew 6 out of the Phillips. I love this version and what it says here. It says, don't worry about living, wondering what you are going to eat or drink or what you are going to wear. Surely life is more important than food and the body more important than clothes you wear. Look at the birds in the sky. They never sow nor reap nor store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable to Him than they are? Can any of you, however much he worries, make himself even a few inches taller? And why do you worry about clothes? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They neither work nor weave, but I tell you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the flowers of the fields, which are alive today and burnt in the stove tomorrow, is he not much more likely to clothe you of little faith? So don't worry and don't keep saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? This is what pagans are always looking for. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Set your heart first on His kingdom and His goodness, and all these things will come to you as a matter of course. Don't worry at all then about tomorrow. Tomorrow can worry about itself. One day's trouble is enough for one day. I have this little quote that I got from a friend's little daily calendar that you turn over each day for a new quote, and maybe if you want to write this, it's so good about worrying. It says, today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. Was it worth it? Today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. Was it worth it? So you think about, here you are today. Yesterday I was worrying about it. Did I need to worry about it? Was it worth it? Probably not. It's a really neat quote. I just want to finish off with this verse. I think when all is said and done, if we were really able to trust God with our life situations, we could probably quote this verse and really mean it. Psalm 116:7 says, "Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." And then I just have this little, it's written with the other little sayings. It's a little poem that says, it's entitled "Dear Friend." And it says, "Your life, your needs, your burdens, all your fears and care, place them in the hands of your Father and remember to leave them there." So I'll finish with that. Thank you.